Our reading this week is from John chapter 11. And so it seems, well, almost necessary to go there this morning. Will you go there in your Bible, John 11? It is a record of what is surely one of the most impressive of Jesus' miracles. He raises Lazarus from the dead. I say among the most impressive, I think in part because it speaks to humanity's greatest fear, doesn't it? I think the greatest fear that men have is the fear of dying. And yet Jesus in John 11 is going to demonstrate that he has power even over death. So in the opening of the chapter, his friend Lazarus is sick. He intentionally delays going. And so by the time he is there, Lazarus has died. And in verse 21, Martha says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And in response to that, Jesus' reply is, "Your brother will rise again." And that is true because in verse 25, Jesus says, and this is the key verse in the chapter, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Stunning claims. And yet, skip down to verse 43. And he comes to the tomb. And he says to a dead and rotting corpse, "Come forth." 44 says, "The man who had died came forth." Thus demonstrating that he is what he said he is, the resurrection and the life. And of course, all of that only foreshadows the coming event soon when Jesus will die and rise again. Can you imagine witnessing this event? I mean, like being at the tomb, perhaps catching a whiff of the stench when the tomb is open. Watching the dead man walk out alive again. Verse 45 records what I think is the right response to that. Therefore, John writes, "Many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him." Who wouldn't? But that is the curious thing about John 11. Some didn't. This is what happens after that, 46. "But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. And if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.'" So the events surrounding the death and resurrection of Lazarus, I mean, it calls together a whole council. There's an emergency meeting. But instead of believing in him, well, verse 49, "But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish.'" John goes on to explain in 51, "Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad." So from that day forward, they planned together to kill him. And I am astonished by that. Instead of believing him, they decide to kill him. How can that be? Worse yet, are you wanting to mess with a guy who can raise dead people? Are they not even a little intimidated by that? But their speech betrays them. Caiaphas acknowledges it. Their fear is that Jesus is going to prop a Roman intervention which will bring trouble on their people and to the current system. And their fear is we're going to lose our place, our important place in the current system. So we've got to take out Jesus. Nobody should read this without walking away fearful and astonished that a person can be so determined not to believe something they want to believe that they can absolutely blind themselves to the obvious truth. We should be afraid of that possibility. But it is Caiaphas' words that I want you to especially note this morning. It is necessary for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. Of course, we know what he's thinking when he says that. We got to take out Jesus so it doesn't mess up the current system. But what John says is he had no idea what he was saying. He's actually prophesying what is going to happen. Verse 51, Jesus is going to die for the nation, and not just for the nation, for the scattered as well. Dying to save his people from their sins, dying to give life to the spiritually dead, dying so that ultimately everybody could have eternal life with God. Caiaphas had no idea how true his words were. He had no clue what was really happening. But we do. In fact, it's why we've come to this point in our service. It's why we share this meal. To remember the one who died for the nation and for the scattered. We celebrate the one who takes dead sinners and gives them spiritual life. And we eat in hope that the giver of life will in the end also raise us to life. Because of Jesus, brothers and sisters, death won't win. We will be victorious. And so this morning, let us eat and let us celebrate.